This is the part of the show where we thank the ice cream truck drivers.
Yeah, see, you're going to get thanks. See?
Thank you, ice cream truck drivers. I don't have a new list yet. This month is going to be crazy thanking people.
Yeah, but
we're
like going to
get to every single name. In the meantime, thank you to all those ice cream truck drivers out there. You know who you are. Those are the folks that deliver that fucking ice cream straight to your fucking ear holes.
No, exactly.
If you want to be an ice cream truck driver, head over to preachingfun.com. Preachingfun.com is where you can go to sign up to be an ice cream truck driver. Is that a gun or an engine?
Tommy gun.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Who knows? The life you save may be your own.
We got a Chicago typewriter here. See? Your mugs.
You put 1,000 Chicago monkeys in a room with 1,000 Chicago typewriters, they'll write a Shakespeare play, I think.
No, they'll kill each other because that's a slang for a gun.
Do you want to go to an ice cream
social? Yeah, I'd love to.
Great, let's go.
It's not an actual typewriter. It's a weapon.
I've always been confused why people were intimidated by that. That explains a lot.
Now you get it? You get it? See, man, it's not just a writing utensil. It's an actual fucking Tommy gun, man.
I mean, I guess you could type on it. Maybe.
Oh, yeah.
I
people have written notes in Tommy Gunn.
It's time for Matt Ailey's Ice Cream Social. Sitting across from me, the articulate with the Tommy Gunn, Paul Mattingly.
Man, that's Matt Donnelly, see?
That's Jacob.
We're preaching fun.
Yeah.
Man.
We have a scoop and churn. Travis is here, so if you hear, hopefully, if you hear laughter.
Right.
There's one.
Fingers found crossed. It.
That's the first and there. Last.
Yeah. I'll turn the mic close to him up.
Yeah.
Get more laughter.
Animals are running amok here in Vegas. Hit the Vegas parking and weather,
the
Jacob.
The yellow-billed loon.
Vegas, parking and weather.
This was also my first topic.
It was?
Yep.
It is an animal facts kind of day in Las Vegas, that's for sure.
Well, so one, we'll go in order of heightening.
Okay.
So the first one is that the Bellagio fountains were shut down.
Yes.
Shut down because of a loon.
Because of a yellow-billed loon.
How does one figure out that that's an endangered rare bird?
I spent an hour yesterday trying to figure out who spotted
this
thing.
The chain of events, right?
Yeah. Like, did just a random ornithologist walk past the Bellagio fountain, look in, and go like, oh, shit, that's one of the 10 rarest bird species in North America, and then call the Bellagio front desk? Like, what happened?
Well, you know what's
more
likely?
And by the way, not a single, I couldn't find a single detail.
What's more likely, anywhere. They got those things where, you know, now, anytime you take a picture with your iPhone, it can identify stuff.
I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
Say a bird lands.
Yeah.
I'm curious.
Yep.
I have this app.
Uh-huh.
Boom. It's a rare Alaskan loon.
Yes. They breed in northern Alaska, up in the Arctic Circle.
How do can I speak to the concierge, please?
Right.
Tony Bellagio, please. How do I get the Bellagio?
Let me speak to your bird people.
Like, how do I get the Bellagio to shut it down? I can't picture going to a casino person being like, listen, the bird that do not turn on.
Don't do it.
Do not turn on the most famous Las Vegas attraction that people fly in and definitely want to see as part of their visit to Las Vegas. Do not turn it on because there is a bird.
Yeah.
That might
fly away.
Might
you might startle
away.
It.
Like, that's what I mean.
You
like,
might startle the bird.
I don't think it's going to kill it if the fountains go off. We just can't do it.
I feel like at worst, it's going to launch that bird really high, really fast, and surprise the shit out of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think.
Or surprise the egg out of it. That's dangerous.
That manager that day is an ornithologist.
Oh.
And is like, one of those rare Alaskan loons? Shut it down!
There's a loon by the flume. I recognized it by its plume. You must save that lonely bird.
If it comes out that, like, the senior VP of operations at Bellagio is just an avid bird watcher.
Yeah, he's like, of course we shut it down.
Yeah.
Of
course. That's best case scenario.
Yeah.
That's wonderful if that's the case.
We're not even letting them do anything in O. We're not even letting that show go on.
Are
right
you
now.
Referring, Jacob, to William Audubon Bellagio? Because, yes, he is very much into the whole scene.
Yeah. Yeah. He just sits at the top of the tower with a set of binoculars. Just looking for birds.
Finally, my giant fountain has come to fruition. It's designed to attract rarest of birds.
That's it. Like, and that's it. They're just trusting, like, I think we're just going to get so many more bird people here. More than the fountains get. More than the fountains gather.
I mean, not zero avid bird watchers have to be at the Bellagio fountain right now, right?
That's true. Yeah, read the article. There's not, like, there's not, still there.
Yeah.
You're right. You gotta go down there.
Yeah.
If the parks and rec system is wise, the wetland, the Wetlands Conservatory will get on this and start being like, "Hey, come on out to our little walkabout and
put bring a little
your binoculars
out." And right. I'm like, "Hey, you here to see the loon? You a bird guy?"
Well, I mean, that's
I was gonna play some craps.
You know, we got wetlands here.
Well, that's that whole spot, you know, up in the Northwest where they've got that giant conservatory where you can just go and. You know, they deck it all out for Christmas time, but during the rest of the year, it's quite the habitat where you can see rare stuff.
Sure. No, there is because
Paul is just became the most annoying guy at the meeting at the wetlands, right? Like this morning.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why we're not getting out a table, getting out some pamphlets.
I got
down
one
there.
You motherfuckers, let this slip through your fingers again. I swear to God, if we don't have T-shirts that say "Catch Loon Fever at the Wetlands" by tomorrow, somebody's balls are getting crushed in my fucking hands. You understand,
Steve,
me?
You can get the T-shirts printed just as easily as I can get the T-shirts printed.
I don't
go print the fucking T-shirt, Steve.
They don't pay me to be a T-shirt guy. They pay me to
We're
be an idea guy.
We're volunteers, Steve. We're volunteers.
Well, I volunteer. You're gonna have some violent tears when I crush your fucking balls with my
God
hands.
Damn it, Steve.
You
Again.
Understand me?
The same. You did the same thing with that fucking ostrich.
And I was right.
You were.
We had a huge
I
omelet
made this
sale
one with puff paint. I made puff paint ones. This one says loon. Fever.
That's very nice.
How long did it take you
nice.
To make that, Carol?
Well, I started. I started yesterday.
Bitch, we don't have time. You understand? We need these mass produced and out there right now. I'm gonna shove that puff paint so far inside of you. You're gonna have a puff paint baby in 9 months,
Your
and the
language,
doctors are gonna freak out. What?
Your language feels like violence. Which
oh, does it?
Legally
good.
Is well, cause, violence.
Because it's a preamble to me crushing your fucking balls in my hand.
I don't have testicles.
In a sense, you
Steve,
do. I
Steve,
will reach deep enough inside Carol. Of you to crush the ovum that were, at one time, your baby testes. You understand me? I will squeeze your ovaries in deep inside your womb. What?
I do understand the development of how different babies are sized.
Oh, you do? Well, you clearly didn't go to the American public education system. Because there's no way if you had graduated through a school in this country in this day and age, you would have the foggiest clue how dicks and pussies work. So I think you might be a Russian spy. Or one of them Chinese.
Carol, are you one of them Chinese?
I am not one of them Chinese.
That's what a Chinese would say. That's exactly what a Chinese would say.
Why would you think that I was a Russian spy?
Oh, you think you're so smart with you knowing how sexual reproduction function, Mr. Chinaman.
I'm going to go now.
I knew it.
I think that was Vladimir Putin.
She's slipping. Listen to
a
running.
A helicopter just landed. It's took a, Carol. I think Carol was Vladimir Putin.
I'm burned. Enter the protocol. Enter the protocol. I've been burned.
But Russia's spy program has really cut their budget.
This is the fourth time.
Putin's just doing everything.
The fourth
just
time we have had
a helicopter from
We have had a deep state spy inserted into the wetlands project here. This is off. It can't be a coincidence. There must be some shit on this land that they preserved.
I'm going to go ahead and say it, though. Putin knows how to do that puff paint.
It's a good-looking shirt.
He's really good at
it. It's a good-looking shirt.
Yeah, that is a nice shirt. I would wear that. What is that? Oh, it's a medium. It's a little small.
Let's bring back puff
paint. Oh, well.
Let's bring back puff
bring
paint.
It back. Bringing it back.
And that is just animal story number one.
The loon.
Animal story. Did we play Vegas Parking Weather?
We did.
Animal story number two.
I only know that because it's still highlighted here.
A man is suing the Venetian.
Yep.
And this story I find even more suspicious.
Well, the loon story is, I have questions, but I don't have suspicions and concerns.
Yeah, I believe the bird is there, and I believe it did shut down the Bellagio.
That's it. I just don't know what the chain of events was that led to the shutting down actually
There's
happening.
There's a questionable chain of events in this story where a man is suing the Venetian yep. because while he was sleeping, a scorpion stung his testicles multiple times. He felt a stabbing sensation in his private area and woke up to a scorpion just pounding away at the old punching bag.
Yeah.
And is suing the Venetian for this event.
Yeah.
This is going to be
this
is going to be a big case, because if they find for this guy, I mean, I don't know about you guys. I've had plenty of long, flirty conversations with scorpions at the bars and local casinos.
right.
And then when we go to my room, then I break it off because I'm like, it's not that kind of thing. You know, I thought, I didn't realize you were a professional. But this guy just lets the professional scorpion come in. And I don't know. I just, you got to be more choosy when it comes to that kind of thing, right?
Basically, as soon as a scorpion even approaches me at the bar, I assume it's professional.
Yeah.
Because I don't have the kind of vibes where a scorpion will start a conversation with me.
Right.
Maybe if I started talking to the scorpion, I could fool myself.
Thank you. Like, just have a little self-sense. And also, scorpions aren't buying their own Timex. They stole that during another visit sometime. You know what I mean? Like, figure it out.
Yeah. Actually, we've upped our budget here at Matt and Mattingly's Ice Cream Social. Thank you, everybody who goes over to preachingfun.com. Howard Stern style, we've started just outfitting ourselves with recording devices whenever we go out in public.
Yeah.
And so we have a conversation here between Paul and the scorpion in the bar. No, here we are. I'll just play it for you right now.
Yeah.
Oh, hey. Wow. I didn't see you there. Sorry. Can I get you another whatever you're drinking?
Run on hell, wow. Now who are you, wow? Scorpion. Listen to the wind of change.
So, martini?
Here I am! Rocking like a hurricane!
Oh, you want a Long Island iced tea? Those are
big city!
Sure.
Big city nights!
I'm not. I'm married. Thank you, though. You're very sweet. You're very sweet.
Well, you led me on, sir. Good day.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Oh, Paul, that went worse than I thought, pal.
That was painful, Paul.
But you're see, I at least have the sense to realize after three or four questions, like, they're not into me for anything, but they just want to sting my balls.
Yep.
Okay. Here's where I have some questions.
Okay.
Okay.
It sounds like the man was wearing...
If your question is, do I know any more scorpion songs? The answer is absolutely not.
I already knew to move on from the bit right when
I didn't even realize... What was the third one you did, Jacob?
Big City Nights.
I didn't even realize that was scorpions. I didn't realize that was scorpions.
Yep. I only know that because I had the Big City Nights album at some point.
It's so funny. Their choruses were the only thing that they knew what they were talking about. Everything else is Big City Nights.
Those are the lyrics, right?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
It's just German. It just sounds like mush.
I just want to hear Donkey Park.
They're not German. They're Russian, aren't they? Are they German?
Scorpions? I think the scorpions are German. We could look it up, but we're not going to. Matt.
If I sound like he's wearing underwear.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Like, we don't know what this guy has done before or after or during. Like, in other words...
He probably brought the scorpion with him.
That's what I'm thinking, right?
Had to have.
Like, because I'm like, what is the... How does the scorpion...
Unless the Venetian is literally crawling with scorpions.
Right.
Because, like, this is in one of the towers. It's possible... But I feel like it's unlikely that there would be a single event. If there were enough scorpions in the tower to be in one of these tower rooms.
Yeah.
And there was like an infestation.
Right.
We'd be hearing about it all the time.
How far up the tower
the Venetian
was
would be. I don't know. But if he was on like the 10th floor, like still, that's an amazing number of scorpions to reach up to the 10th floor.
Yeah.
Like, basically, like, we have friends with scorpions.
Yeah.
And they do get stung all the time.
Sure.
Sometimes your house can be lousy with scorpions.
My dog Buttercup got stung with a scorpion. We had to take her to the emergency vet.
Yeah. And before we had cats, we had scorpions around our house as well.
Ah, no more.
And then you bought two killing machines. Inherited two
killing machines, yeah. You know, it's still, even with all my friends, all the scorpion stories, it being inside their underwear is not
It's fishy.
It's fishy. And I'm basically like, what did you go to, like, did you go out hiking and do like a naked swim and then put your shorts back on or something like that, maybe?
Right.
I don't know. How does a scorpion end up just
it's
in your underwear?
It's also, did you stick a scorpion in your underwear?
Well, I mean, the scorpion could have stung through the underwear.
That's not what it could have been in the bed. Though, I don't think.
He said that it was in the underwear.
That's what I was reading from it, but maybe I'm wrong.
No, I could be wrong. Yeah,
I can't. But a scorpion's not going to sting you through your underwear.
Oh, they sting through. I mean, like they get through shit.
They can get through shit.
I guess, but I don't know. It seems very convenient.
It seems weird.
You're getting stung in the balls by a scorpion.
Yeah, that's less convenient.
Also, because like scorpions aren't big, as far as I know, they don't climb. Like how it gets on the bed is a weird thing.
No,
they don't like smooth surfaces, but they'll climb.
They live in trees. They live in palm trees. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they'll get up there.
Yeah.
All right.
He found a scorpion hanging on his underwear after waking up in a lot of pain during a stay at the Venetian last year.
Oh, so maybe it is outside the underwear then, Paul.
Okay. Still weird.
This is our version of a true crime podcast.
Yeah.
Right.
This is how we're going to get to the bottom of things.
He says he didn't even ask the hotel how the arachnid got into his room, adding it was just under his cover. Yeah, I don't know. He says he was stung at least 3 or 4 times.
Is that a thing? They have multiple.
Oh, they'll sting. They'll just keep hitting.
They go off until it's over.
Yeah.
I feel like this guy did it to himself. He wanted to see the Venetian. This is his way of. This is his slip and fall.
This is his
there,
slip and
I said
fall.
I feel exactly the
same way.
Now, a scorpion in.
We might get proven wrong, and this could be a McDonald's lap coffee kind of situation.
Right.
Where in the years
right.
to come, we're like, oh God. That person was absolutely right. That scorpion was way too hot.
Right. Warm scorpion.
I'm saying, without the Venetian having a scorpion infestation, which I do not think they have.
I feel like we would have heard about it. Also, this happened a year ago.
Yes.
Like,
we would have heard of other Venetian
scorpion. It's just coming out in discovery now? Then. Is that what's going on?
Well, the lawsuit. Yeah, he's suing now.
Boy, we need some of those sunshine laws to get these stories out ASAP, don't we?
We do. But basically, like, a scorpion has to hijack its way in, has to be riding on something. Like, you're not going to, if it's a singular scorpion, it came from somewhere where it came out in someone's luggage or whatever. I just don't know how the fuck the Venetians responsible for the content. Bed bugs, I understand, or something along those lines. But that's an infestation. There'd be multiple cases, et cetera, et cetera. But this guy, I feel like he basically was embarrassed to tell his wife about a scorpion fetish, and now he has to follow through this lawsuit to do it.
That's probably it.
It's weird.
That's probably what happened.
It's straight up weird.
That makes sense.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me. Also, I don't know. Because can you sue a hotel? This is a real question. I don't know the answer to this. Can you sue a hotel for bed bugs?
I'm sure you can.
You can?
I'm sure you can.
If they're negligent. What if they're not just negligent? If it's just, you know, like you got a few bed bugs. I mean, I guess you can still sue them. But have there been a lot of successful lawsuits regarding bed bugs or anything?
It's a good question. I don't know.
Probably.
That's the precedent. That's the precedent out there for the scorpion. Got to be.
For sure.
There was a time when they were really a problem in Vegas. I know that when I was working in apartments briefly.
Oh, which, yeah.
Yeah. It's like it's.
I think anywhere you got a lot of hotels, you always got problems with bed bugs.
They've gotten it under control. It can be gotten under control pretty quickly. It's not cheap to get it under control.
Nope.
Luckily, the casinos have a few dimes to rub together.
Yeah, they do.
What they do is they throw a giant foam party. It's a big poisonous foam party. Everyone's in. Get rid of those bed bugs. Just filling every room.
This is wild. This is so much fun.
Goodbye, bed bugs.
Oh, they were just here to party.
Bed bug rave.
Hey, I'm going on tour a little bit. I'm going. I'm going near Louisville, Kentucky.
Nice. Hey, my old stomping grounds.
Indiana. New Albany, Indiana, which is just across some bridge. from Louisville.
Yep. Truck just almost fell off.
That's right. So avoid that if you're going to come.
If you see that truck,
look out for that.
Watch out.
If you see it even teetering, I would just stay away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the J&B Magic Shop.
Okay.
It holds 32 to 34 people. So please, let's just get this.
Let's fill it up.
Let's just get that sold out.
Yeah.
Can we please just do that? If you go to J&B Magic Shop there.
Also, you and your 31 closest friends.
Yeah.
Can just buy a magic show.
Well, that thing is, last time I sold it out fast enough that they gave me a second show.
Yeah.
And maybe we're cutting it close for that, but I would maybe like that to be the case.
That'd be nice.
Please come check that out if you can. Then I'm turning right around from there and going to Chicago Magic Lounge.
Good.
For 4 nights there.
Heard of it.
A nice little fancy venue there. If it's too fancy for you, but you're near Chicago, on Monday, April 1st, actually the anniversary of this show.
Ah, that's true.
I will be at Sideshow Gelato. They do a variety show, and I'm doing a 20-minute slot in the variety show.
All right.
At the Sideshow Gelato, Monday, April 1st.
I want to get to Chicago just to check out Sideshow Gelato.
Exactly. That's why I'm so excited that it's working out that way and tagging that on to my Chicago
visit. You go
to
Chicago, Sideshow Gelato, and The Bean. Those are your two big stops.
There you go. There you go. And then
You mean the clitoris, right?
You call it what you want. You try flicking that thing, you're going to hurt your finger.
All right.
April 20th.
I don't know how to find it anyway.
April 28th, I'll be doing my very first show in New York City. Going back to my old haunt, the People's Improv Theater.
Oh, wow.
Loft Space.
Heading to the pit.
To Pit Loft. Going to be doing a show there Sunday, April 28th.
Are you excited about that one? You nervous about that
very,
one?
Very, both. Yeah. Very excited, very nervous. I just was basically just like, I think it's weird that I haven't done a show in New York City yet.
Yeah.
And I started off with calling the place closest to home for me, which is the pit where I performed for many years and taught for many years. I'm also doing an improv workshop while I'm out there as well.
Oh good.
I'm doing the full Mattingly out there in New York.
Hell yeah, baby.
An improv workshop and a show.
Teach that Donnelly Harold.
That's how you do it.
I'll be teaching Bull Matador scene technique, if you must know. So check those things out if you are near those areas. I'd really appreciate it.
I'll tell you who else is going to teach some Bull Matador if you're interested, and that's the following sponsor.
Today's show, Matt and Manley's Ice Cream Social, is brought to you by...
He's the best!
Beating a Dead Horse, Volume 16, read by Bill Cosby. That's from Smokehouse Scoop.
Well, you know what happened to me? I'll tell you, it was a funny story. I went to prison because, you know, I'm a terrible man and I did terrible things. And I was found guilty by a jury of my peers. But here's the thing. I'm not a boat. I don't want to be judged by docks. I don't want to be judged by peers. I'm taking a short walk off a long pier. Hey. Whoa. Yeah.
That's just a walk.
Well, that's what I did. Beat that horse, Rudy. Get it over here and the beat the horse until it's dead. Yeah. Who even cares anymore? The horse is dead and the kid. I killed the horse for the breakfast for the kids. Well, they're like, great.
Enter Hay Scoops at checkout.
I don't want to support him, but I do kind of want to get that book now.
Yeah, I'd listen to that.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, that, by the he's way, like a criminal mastermind. He got out of all
something
of it.
I should start incorporating is it actually has dates submitted by on the date that it was submitted on.
Oh, yeah.
On the thing. That was from November 5th, 2022. So if you want to know how random our generator is, it sometimes we get some recent ones, sometimes we get some old ones. So
yeah.
if you submit ones back in the day, this is
it's still
you know.
Coming.
It's still it's coming, still guys. Coming. We're getting to it. Coming. We're getting to it. Trust that.
Yep.
Random kind of non sequitur thought. I put this up on my Twitter about did you see Vince McMahon just sold a bunch of his stock in the new TKO that he's part of now?
Interesting. Okay. So when they bought the company, they were probably given both cash and stock, and you're saying Vince McMahon already sold his stock.
He just already has decided to sell not all of it, but $400 million worth.
I mean, how old is Vince McMahon at this point? He's up there, right?
He's up there. He's late 60s. Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was older than that. Okay.
I think he might be. I'm pretty sure.
I thought he was older than that, too.
Yeah. Oh, you might be right. I think he might. Maybe he is in his 70s.
No, I'm just saying if he is that young, he looks old. Shit.
Well, hard, I mean,
he's done every fucking drug
evil
in the world.
Evil,
right?
Has an effect on you, you know? he is probably older than that. You can look up exactly how old he is. But
I'll look it up.
This is my theory, and I will hate when I'm right if this happens, but we know
he's 78.
Okay. 78?
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
There we go. Okay.
He's a lot older than I thought.
That's my thought. Is like, what's he holding on to this stock for?
Yeah. Well.
Oh, yeah.
Give me the fucking cash. Let's go.
True. But also, because he's about to face a lot of criminal investigation.
He's about to pay out a lot of money.
He's got some fees that are coming due.
But what I think is going to happen is he's you know, $400 million is a interesting number, as it happens to be pretty close to what a certain presidential candidate might be on the hook for. And what I'm thinking, because, you know, Vince's wife worked for that administration. There are some close ties there.
Oh, that's right. She did at some point, didn't she?
Yes, she
was like
did.
The eighth over Secretary of Agriculture or something like that.
Some shit. So my theory is he is just getting ready to pay out for the world's most expensive pardon. When everything hits the fan, he's going to give that money to Donnie. Donnie becomes prez again, and then pardons Vince.
I don't think
Vince.
Anyone's been able to move any money to get presidential pardons. I don't think that's possible.
Oh, you don't think so?
No.
Thank goodness that at least is still safe. The enshrinement
of that.
One thing that
we have learned in the modern internet era is that cooler heads prevail, and justice is slow, but...
That's right.
Ultimately, right, winning machine.
Right, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Justice.
That is what we've learned.
Scorpion is from Germany.
Okay.
Oh, there we go.
Well, good Hanover. For the Scorpions.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Good for them.
Being from Europe.
Octoon Scorpion.
So I went snowboarding. I don't think I've talked about this on the show.
I don't think so.
This is something I embarrassingly like trained for.
For this time around?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like I started doing like more deadlifts and like squats and like stuff like that because basically like...
Increasing the strength in your glutes and quads?
Yes. Because that's basically the key to snowboarding. And last time I went snowboarding was 6 years ago.
Okay.
And I could only go one day because that was the very first time that Piff asked me to open up for him. And I flew from where I was snowboarding to Indianapolis to open for Piff. And I had snowboarded for about 3 hours 6 years ago.
And how'd you do in those 3 hours?
It was tough.
Yeah.
It was tough. And then I literally went to get like a sports massage, like a deep level, because I was in like, so much.
Beat the shit out of me.
Because I was like, I have to be able to walk tomorrow night. I have to get on stage and move around.
Yeah. I can't walk like an 85-year-old
No, like when
Vince
I was
McMahon.
I was, you know. In my late 20s and early 30s, I played football on Sundays with the guys that I bartended with at Tierney's and friends, and I would not be able to walk on Monday. Like, just play a regular, like, backyard football game, and we'd play for hours, and it would feel great, and the next day I could not move. And I remember being late to teach an improv class because I just couldn't move from where I parked my car to the studio. In time to make it on time to actually teach the class.
I've been right over there for the last 35 minutes.
I'm coming.
This has been my life for the past year and a half now. I swear, like when I was doing the Target thing, I'd have to park. We all park, you know, at 4 a.m, getting ready to walk in. The second I would have to keep my eyes peeled. The second I saw the manager get out of their car, I'd have to get out of my car and get ready and start walking. And everybody would still beat me. But I would get there. I was the last, because I'm just a limpy, slow ass. And now it's even worse. Now it's just to the point where Anna's just like, one day I'll be able to walk at a normal human pace again. And I'm like, I'm so sorry.
What's coming up? Yeah.
Dude, it is right around the corner and I am desperate for it. Yeah.
Because I'm about to leave at the time of this recording. I'm leaving tomorrow to go to New York City for a couple of days. And then I'm going off to Paris, France. For the first time in my life.
Say hi to the Scorpions.
I'm forwarding you an email right now from Mistress Scoop. She has sent something for you to do in Paris.
All right.
With the kids.
I can't. I'll tell them that there's this mistress
yep.
who listens in Germany who gave me these to-dos.
That's right.
That was like my friend Ken, who I went snowboarding with, was like, hey, you know, one of the coolest things I saw was in the catacombs. They have basically the skeletons of 6 million people. They
right.
stack them all up. And you can get photos next to them, and they even frisk you to make sure you're not trying to steal any bones on the way out and that kind of stuff. And I was like,
huh.
I can't imagine. I just was like, I went to my wife. I was like, so my friend says we should take our children to where there are 6 million dead bodies that we can look at their bones and take photos.
Yep.
And my wife goes, the catacombs. I've heard about those.
Yeah.
Sure.
I was wrong, but I guess
I think
we'll go there.
I think the kids will be awed by that. Yeah. And who doesn't want to, if you didn't get bone frisked while you were in Paris, you didn't go to Paris.
Yeah. Yeah, this looks like an interactive science museum that the Mr. Scoop is
in. Oh, cool. I didn't read about the science museum. It's supposed to be awesome for kids.
Yeah. So, frisk for bones to make sure
I
you still, didn't
wherever I go,
steal.
I will still announce, go ahead and frisk me for bones. Wherever
bone
we go.
Bone frisk. Check your pockets. Empty all of your bags.
No, Paul, it's France. It's Le Bon Frisque.
You're right. C'est bon frisque.
Frisquier.
Le Bon Frisquier. All right, now we're getting ridiculous.
Well, I'm reminded, like, when I went to I ponied up for, like, good seats at the Aviators to take my two children uh-huh. to see a minor league baseball game. And when they sat down, they were like, how does baseball work? And I was like, nope, I did not do a good job as a dad.
Oh, no, you did a fine job.
I learned a lot. I realized that here's the thing. Shout out to the educators that I had in my life.
Okay.
I learned a lot about sports in school.
Oh, yeah.
Like, at gym class, I learned all the rules to all
yes.
the games.
Your kids have a Nintendo Switch. How did you not buy yeah. them a baseball game on the Nintendo Switch?
Because I'm a terrible father.
They would learn. They would learn how baseball works.
That's
quick.
Not why we think you're a terrible father.
but I should have bought them one.
But yeah, you're right though. Like in gym class, we were taught. You know, like I know all the rules to things like badminton,
right?
Because it was in gym class. I know how to keep score in bowling because it was in gym class.
Now they play all these made-up games, and it's like, you know, like there's like a...
Feel free to play the made-up games too, but alternate.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like they even do like weird like scooter versions of basketball. And
yeah,
like,
fine.
There's a thing called... I'm blanking on the name of it right now. You literally just bat around a ball in like a
bombardment.
Ring of your hand.
Bombardment.
It probably used to be called that, but you can't call it that anymore.
Right.
But whatever, they play this.
Do they
game.
Still play with parachutes?
Like you sit under the parachute. I remember parachute day was a big day in gym class.
Best.
Yeah. Oh, I was at a show the other night. This is like 2 weeks ago. I went to one of these. I mean, I've been going to a lot of weird late night Vegas shows the last few weeks.
Nice.
And went to one the other day that it was a burlesque show. And after the show, it just turned into a party.
Yeah.
Yeah. The whole venue just turned into a party. And somebody had brought a parachute. And so, an old school gym class parachute game broke out.
Was it with a bunch of just military colored green, or was it?
No. The big multicolored
thing
with the handles on the side of it. Yeah.
That's a made for gym parachute.
A true
yes.
gym class. A true
oh,
gym
yeah.
class
no, this
parachute.
Is a gym class parachute.
See, when I was
Absolutely.
A kid, we used old military parachutes.
Right.
Well, those of us younger than you, Paul, they figured out how to add handles and colors.
My
to parachutes
in gym class still had bullet holes from the Kaiser. That's how you really play with a real parachute. Still has tear marks and a bunch of Jerry blood just streaked on it.
Jerry?
Yeah, they call them Jerrys.
They called who Jerrys?
They called Germans Jerrys, didn't they?
Yeah,
did they?
That's what Tom and Jerry comes from, Jacob.
Oh, yeah, I guess you're right.
Because English boys were named Tom.
That's
German
right.
boys were named Jerry.
Oh, yeah, the English. That's right. It was an English thing.
Yeah.
That's right. You know who else called people
Jerry?
Jerry
got so much blood on that parachute, it looked like a rainbow.
The only thing I'm saying is that I'm doing the same thing that I did at the minor league baseball game with the whole entire country of Paris.
Yeah.
France, I mean. I prepare them in no way
it's
to take
city.
In the culture of it. And I don't know how. So didn't they teach anything about France in gym class?
Right.
All right.
The following sponsor.
Today's show is brought to you by Larry's Vegan Blood Sausage. That's right, from Blue Moon Scoop. This is from April 30th, 2021.
Oh!
Larry's Vegan Blood Sausage.
Hello, my name is Larry, and I would like to introduce you to my vegan blood sausage. It's made of pure vegetable blood. Fresh from the cauliflower, I drain the cauliflower's blood right into my vegan sausage, right onto your skillet. Mmm.
I don't think cauliflower has blood.
Everything has blood. You just squeeze it, and that juice is called its blood.
Okay, okay. So
like you if you squish a grape.
Yeah.
The wine is basically grape blood.
Hi, I'm here for my squeezing.
Nope. Wrong place. You're not vegetarian.
Well, I mean, I was told I'd get a squeezing here, though.
You want to buy some squeezins?
No, I was hoping to get a squeezin. I called earlier. I'm the one who called earlier.
You're the guy who wants to use the machine for a little while.
That's right.
We have an arrangement. Okay.
Yes.
$45, please.
Oh, it's gone up. It was $43 last week.
Well, oh, I'm the guy who has to clean the goddamn machine, so it's $45.
No, I'm not complaining about it.
And here's
just
the thing, pal.
It's just gone up.
10 minutes is 10 minutes. That's it.
Hey.
What?
Don't you use that machine. Don't pay him another nickel. I was just in here in that squeezing machine, and my testicles were stung by a scorpion.
What?
Yep. I have a scorpion right here that I got inside. It happened inside that squeezing machine right
You're
there.
Telling me that scorpion that's currently hanging off of your underwear.
That's right.
Is out of that machine?
Yep.
The squeezing machine?
Please, no. The squeezing machine has no scorpion infestation, I swear. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Perhaps I spoke too soon.
Shut up, scorpion. Men are talking.
They're in my squeezing machine.
Enter Hate Scoops at checkout. Went to a party the other night.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of parties happening right now at the Tropicana. I've been to two parties at the Tropicana in the last week and a half.
I bet that place is gonna going to just burn down before it's all done, right?
I mean, it
gonna be,
really might.
Well, I mean, aren't people like just throwing shit through windows at this point? Like, it's going to be demolished, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be. Is it going to be an implosion? I wonder.
I don't think they've said yet. I hope so.
I mean, that's kind of like when was the last big implosion in Vegas? It's
Riviera.
Been a minute, right?
Yeah, it was the Riviera.
That was like 2007.
That's been a while,
wasn't it?
I think it was, no. It was more recent than that because I didn't live here in 07, or I moved here in 07.
Huh.
No, the Riv was much more recent than that, because SJ did lots of work at the Riv for years and years.
Okay.
I can find out, but it's been more recent than that.
Oh, I'm thinking the Stardust, I think, was 2007.
There you go.
She got scabies there, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The
That's one of the places
the wind
she got
of change,
it.
We call it.
So, where were you? What did you do?
Oh, I started looking up the Riviera.
I was like, this is your story, buddy.
Yep. went to a party. Went to a party thrown by a buddy who has started now having basically end of casino parties. The last, he threw one when the Riviera shut down.
Got it.
And now he threw one when the Tropicana was shutting down. And then I think we're going to go back on the actual last night of the Tropicana as well. And have another party there for the last night.
I wonder
if
they'll do a big implosion thing like they've done in the other building.
I hope so.
That's what
because they didn't do like
when
a huge
to do
the last
implosion?
The Riviera. I think it was the Riviera. Hold on, I'll look it up.
No, Jacob.
What?
This is your story.
Oh, sorry.
Someone else can look it up.
2016.
You're not helping, Paul.
So yeah, but no, I hope they do. I hope they do like a big to do like when. What was it? They had one, I think it might have been the Frontier. When they imploded the Frontier, they had the cannons from the ships on at Treasure Island.
Yeah.
Like fire, like the cannons fired towards the Frontier, and yeah, then they hit the implosion button.
Pretending that they shot the Frontier.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, so I hope they do something like that. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we were there. A lot of people up in one of the big suites up on top of the tower. Very cool. We're all having a good time. Standing there talking to a friend of mine who is an attractive woman.
You know what they need to do, Jacob?
Yeah.
They need to do Ghostbusters 2. They need to slime up that Statue of Liberty over there on New York, New York. Walk that bitch over there and just bust shit up.
I agree, Paul. That is what they should do.
She just needs to walk across the strip just and smash
total,
the
fuck. Animated fucking monster.
She just needs to go and just
Statue of Liberty.
Fuck up the trop. Just bash, bash, bash.
You wouldn't like Liberty when she's angry.
Yeah. Oh, they're playing that. Your love is lifting me higher.
There was a wide array of Las Vegas entertainers at this party. There's a Las Vegas entertainer party.
Who's who?
That's right. It's being thrown by
who's what?
Murray the Magician.
Murray Sawchuck, you're a good friend, of course.
Murray Sawchuck is throwing a party up there. And so Murray, when he throws a party, a who's who of Las Vegas entertainment shows up.
Yeah.
And so everybody's there. I'm talking to a friend of mine who's a performer in town, attractive younger woman. And, you know, like early 20s, this performer, she's in her early 20s. You know, people I went to high school with have children that are older than she is.
Right.
You know, that type of thing.
But you went to school in Louisiana, so they're also older than I am.
That's right. Weirdly. I'm not sure how it works, but it works. It's fine. So we're sitting over there. We're talking. And then this other guy comes over. And so, like, the three of us are now talking. And I can tell this other guy is very interested in talking to my friend.
Uh-huh.
Maybe without me as part of the conversation.
Like, hey, cockblocker, you want to get us a drink?
Yeah, so I start to kind of...
And you're like, apparently you don't know how I met my wife.
That's right.
If anyone knows how this deal works, it's me.
Yeah, I got you.
So, now, how old was the person talking to her?
Older than me.
Okay.
Yeah. I believe. Maybe, okay. Not much older than me, but I believe older than me.
Okay.
Old enough to know better, perhaps.
Old enough to know better?
And so... this guy
is a great. I mean, as you bring this up, I brought up the great Chris Rock story of when he first was divorced, and so he went up to like Rihanna to be like, maybe I can talk to Rihanna. And then it was the first time being, you know, kind of single and out and about and thinking, I'm a celebrity, you're a celebrity, maybe we can get along, or whatever. And he was like, and she just talked to me like I was her dad,
as she should.
That's it. It was like,
yeah.
You know, when I think your grass always greener kind of situation, and you get your bluff called.
That's it.
It can hurt a little bit.
Yeah, that's the thing. And this person, this young lady, she's a good friend, and she does talk to me like I'm an older relative. She talks to me like I'm an older male relative, which is absolutely appropriate. That's all fine.
Yeah.
And so I say that just because she and I have talked about this directly and just laughed about it. So this guy comes over. And he goes, yeah, I'm a magician.
Uh-oh.
Been down doing some shows, doing this and that. I'm a magician. And this person, I guess there's a non-zero chance this person listens to the podcast. You shot your shot, buddy. And then he proceeded to, for the next 20 minutes. Oh, and my friend is like our wives. She finds it difficult to extract herself from a conversation. Shall we say?
Ah,
right. She is a very nice person. She's interested in what people have to say to her. All of these things, and for these reasons, and a few others, she has a really hard time getting out of conversations.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I then watched for the next 15 to 20 minutes while this guy did card tricks for her.
No, no.
In the corner of this party.
No.
And I mean, card tricks, not just. Little bit of sleight of hand card tricks. He's pulling out Sharpies, having her sign cards. Oh. Do it.
Boo. Oh, yep. Boo is right. Boo.
Yep.
Boo this man.
You're ruining it for all of us.
I was like, I'm watching a grown-ass man try to pick up a 20-something Las Vegas performer by doing card tricks.
With a shucking Sharpie.
Have you guys ever seen the hilarious episode?
say, I'll recap, and then put the cap back on the marker, because he should have been shot on the spot if he did. He should have been fucking trank darted and thrown in a dumpster.
If you think that I was able to stand close enough to hear the bit and not comment on it and not ruin this for everyone, you are misrepresenting who I am.
I feel like I know the answer to this question.
Go ahead.
Did she request to see card tricks from him?
She probably gave the lightest consent after a, shall I show you magic? Oh,
yeah,
sure.
Well, no, I am sure that he said at some point, I mean, I was there for this part, but I'm sure that he said something along the lines of, want to see a card trick?
Yeah.
And she said, sure.
Right.
I'm positive that happened.
Yes.
I don't think consent was given for 20 minutes.
No. Never. I'm saying.
I don't think consent was given for a routine.
It was initiated by him.
Oh, certainly it was initiated by him. It was, yeah, nobody said, hey, do you have a deck of cards on you? Let's see some stuff.
More than one trick.
Oh, more than five. I mean, routine.
A whole routine.
This was a whole routine.
It doesn't lead to anything good for you, pal.
No.
It's going to be a disaster.
I mean, it was stuff like, you know, he's doing, you know, riffling through the deck, is able to stop, forcing a card on her. She looks at the card. He goes, okay, that's your card. Sign your card. Or, no, I put that card in your pocket. There's no way I can tell what that card is. Oh, hold on, I'm getting a phone call. And he pulls out a cell phone, and there's an adorable picture of a dog with a card in its mouth, and that's her card.
Fuck you!
Yeah.
Oh, I hate you so much. Oh, fuck you. Oh.
What I'm saying is, Matt, stay married, because this shtick doesn't work.
Oh, I was at a wedding, right? I was at a wedding. My wife and I were at a wedding in Jersey. My buddy Andrew Frace.
Oh, yeah, Frace.
Was at his wedding. Great wedding.
Yes.
A lot of musical theater people.
Yes.
Which
I wasn't invited, but that's okay.
Which means...
We've only known each other for, like, I don't know, 25 years, something like that. I wasn't invited. It's cool. It's
and
cool.
It was
don't worry about it, Frace.
It was an awesome wedding.
Yeah, I hear. I've heard that from a lot of people.
Yeah, and, you know, they're friends with people, so they have an amazing band.
Yeah, yeah.
They're friends with half the band.
I thought they were friends with me.
Yeah.
No.
In fact, they said, this one goes out to Jacob, and then someone yelled, he's not here, and they said, oh, yeah, and then we all laughed at the joke.
The whole room
was like, that fucker ain't here. But anyways, drunk musical theater people, it was bit city.
Sure.
Left and right.
Of course.
1,000 bits. And on top of that, they had this great thing, which I think every wedding should have. They had a phone that if you picked it up and just talked into it, it just recorded everything you were saying.
Oh, that's good stuff.
You just hung up the phone. I loved this.
Recording a message for the bride and groom. Yeah.
Like, so recently was their anniversary. Frace called me. He's like, I'm just laughing at your messages that you left on the phone. I was like, I have no recollection of leaving any message on that phone.
Of course not.
But I remember getting up to leave, and all these guys that we were sharing the table with go like, wait, you're just going to go? And I was like, yeah. It's getting towards the end of the night. My friends are going to go. They're like, you're not going to do any magic tricks? And I was like, oh, God, no. What? No.
What?
Hell no.
And they go, but I thought you were a magician. I go, I am. And they go, did you want to do any tricks? And I was like, no.
Not really.
Not at all.
I'm going to disappear, motherfuckers.
Except for this.
That's
he pulls out a fish.
Yes, I should. That's basically what I should do. It's the only one I should do, and it's what I should do.
Yes.
But I said, do you have a deck of cards on you? And they go, no. I go, me neither.
Great.
I go, I got nothing. What do you want? You know, I keep rubber bands on my wrists.
Uh-huh.
Because the first time I started studying magic, RJ taught me a rubber band trick. I typically keep three rubber bands on my wrist to represent each member of my family.
Okay.
There you go. And, if there's like a child, I'll do rubber band tricks, or someone extremely curious or into the story of me, I will do the rubber band tricks, a couple of rubber band tricks to show them something. But drunk at a wedding, am I going to impress you with rubber band tricks? No.
Aren't you going to do a trick? Was your mom here?
No, I liked them. We were having fun with them all night. I liked them.
Right.
But I just don't remember, like... Rudy Kobe probably is the most, like, he's the most, like straight up, like, he basically, his answer is like, fuck you. Like,
if you good for him.
Party, he's like, fuck off. You don't ask a mechanic to fix your car at a party.
No.
Like, he hates it.
Well,
so
you do
much.
If your car is broken.
Yeah. And so, in short, this guy is ruining it for all of us.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
And there were several accomplished magicians at this event.
Yeah.
None of them did any magic tricks.
No! Could you imagine how fucking off it'd be if Murray started doing fucking card tricks at his own party?
Of course.
Like
the closest thing anybody else did to performing is there was a small band,
yeah,
and people just kept sitting in and singing a song. But I tell you what, not many of the professional singers got up and sang a song.
Right.
It was people like the magicians getting up and singing. Like, there was one of the magicians who was there who's been around. He's worked with a ton of different people. He got up and sang fucking Toto, Africa. Great.
Yeah.
No beef with that whatsoever. Not a killer singer or anything. Who cares? We're all having fun.
Or if he were to encounter another magician and start nerding out. I actually respect them being
fine. Hey,
this is what I'm working on.
Yeah.
And them going back and forth.
Well, that's just talking shop.
They're talking shop. I respect that.
Yeah, that's fine.
Very big difference versus
they're not performing. Yeah.
What magicians like to call muggles.
Right.
And just trying to impress someone with a series of fucking six card tricks. Fuck off. Like when I did F1, I had a six trick lineup.
Yeah.
I never got to the fifth and sixth trick.
Right.
Because of reading my audiences accurately.
Right.
The most I got to was four, and that was still rare.
And four is a lot.
Yeah, you want to come in overloaded, but you don't.
Yes,
I saw this guy. Right, and I saw this guy, and I walked away for like chunks of this and everything, and kept kind of like floating back over and whatever, because I'm protective of this person a little bit.
Yes,
and because again, they're of an age that they could be my child.
Yes,
and so I kind of floated back over at some point. Oh, they're fine. No big deal. I witnessed at least five tricks.
That's so gross.
And there were definitely more than that.
Early in magic, like I'm still early in magic. I'm still, whatever, mm-hmm. 6 or 7 years in magic. Early, I was curious about working on stuff. And sometimes I did go to parties with tricks loaded in my pocket.
Sure.
Like maybe 3 or 4 tops.
Yeah.
But that's early. And that's not doing tricks at a famous strip magician's party necessarily. It might have been for you. But
No. I never did them.
No.
Right.
Oh,
I never did them.
You just had them on
prepared
hold.
In case.
Yeah, in case. Even like so recently. Okay, so I recently, and this is a good kind of bookend for the audience that was, you know, been with us.
Yeah,
I recently did a wedding reception.
Okay,
my friend who had a heart attack right after his wedding,
like at his wedding,
his wedding.
Yeah,
is now fully recovered, and they finally did the ceremony.
Okay,
we call it part two. After the 9-month break,
oh,
we did the whole introduction, the wedding party, best man speeches, mm-hmm. the whole bit.
Did it end the same?
And he survived. this one, no problem.
He's like half asleep the whole time. He's like, I'm not even paying attention this time.
He said,
it happened.
I'm very relaxed.
Yep. After he saw me at the Magic House, he's like, you should do a trick at my wedding reception.
Oh,
and I was like, that's an invitation to do that. No, but I said, do you really want me to do that?
Yes.
He's like, no, I really do. I said, okay, I'll bring.
Don't do this because you think I want to do this.
Yeah.
If you want me to do this, I will do it, but don't do it for me.
I will bring it.
Yeah.
And I brought it. And as soon as the night started developing and whatever, I fucking left it alone. And
yes.
I said, if he wants to bring it up, he'll bring it up.
That's it.
I don't think right now I think he was nervous about there being enough going on.
Yeah.
And there's clearly an awesome group of people getting together and partying right now.
Yeah.
And there's just a great vibe in this room.
Yeah.
And people are giving amazing speeches and people are dancing.
Yep.
And this does not need another pumping of the brakes. Hey, everybody,
nope.
Look over here moment
no.
thing. And I tabled it. And I...
well, it's like what we always used to talk about with people who would say, oh, you know, I want to be a stand-up comedian.
Yes.
It's like, great. Go to a party, yell at everybody, shut the fuck up, sit down, I'm going to be funny.
Right. Because that's what the act of getting on a microphone and doing stand-up is.
You don't need to do that at a party if it's not, if it's not called for, it's not called for.
Yeah. Yes. And there were, exactly, and much like your party, there was actually some pretty high-end comedy celebrities there. I was very nervous to do a magic trick for people that are executive producers of shows and things like that. It stayed at the wayside. In fact, at the end of the night, I forgot it. I had to call him to be like, hey, I forgot my magic trick's there. Can you just make sure someone packs it or whatever? He didn't go, oh, you didn't do a magic trick.
Right.
No, of course not.
He went, sure.
Got you.
Yeah. Like, and again, and part of what he thanked me for was reading the room.
Yes.
And thanked me for not doing a magic trick when it didn't need to be done.
Of course.
Like, it
you didn't find
like,
a 22-year-old in the corner and show her
debris,
the,
like, the, can rep, I borrow the a rep, ring.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Check out this bell. Make sure it's a normal bell.
Yeah. Because very early when I was first learning it, people were saying, can you do magic? Because they basically were like, holy shit, you're learning it. What are you learning?
Right.
Once you are the occupation,
it's part of the conversation
of what I'm up to. Now it's just I go around doing magic. That's not the same conversation. So no one asks me to do magic.
Right.
Except for that rare occasion where you absolutely don't want to do it.
Yeah.
And you can find a way out of it.
Yeah.
I just like it's so hard because people get into magic early. And I think it is a good thing for people who are young teens or whatever. Like, it does teach you to, you know, be ballsy, to mm-hmm. be presentational, to get up. It takes a lot of guts to do it. And when you do it, it's a huge confidence builder. To pull off a successful magic trick for people when you are young feels fucking great.
And I bet in these scenarios, because, like, you know, 17-year-old Matt Donnelly at a party who has been doing magic for a few years might be tempted to pull out a magic trick.
Yeah.
And perform at the party.
Yeah.
17-year-old Matt Donnelly then might also learn a couple of lessons about timing and appropriateness.
Yes.
When the appropriate time to pull out a magic trick is and when is not the appropriate time to pull out a magic trick. By the way, the not appropriate times outweigh the appropriate times.
And also, like, this guy going into a series of tricks, a fucking repertoire.
A routine.
At someone else's party who is a magician.
Yes.
Is obnoxious.
That's the big weird.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I mean,
I can't imagine being at Penn's house on New Year's Eve.
That's it.
And cornering some young person into watching me do fucking really six cool. card tricks.
And from where that person is standing watching your card trick, they can see Penn, they can see Matt, they can see Piff.
Right.
You know.
Like, it just seems like such a...
Like, oh, there's Piff over there. He's playing pool. Oh, I think that was my card.
Oh, gross.
Yeah.
Because there are, even in, like, I don't know, Paul, your pickup classes, there was the thing in that pickup artist book to do a couple of magic tricks. It isn't that deal. But it's so funny.
Oh, yeah, like the bar magic stuff. Yeah. Yeah, sure.
But it's also so clear that this person is definitely just a magician's magician because he didn't do two. He did six.
Yeah. Like, I even made a joke.
Yeah. If you do any kind of like trick, it's like one and done.
Right.
And then where does the conversation go? It's not, oh, you like that? Check this out.
Well, this is the thing. I thought I was being a really nice guy.
Yeah.
Because he saddles up. He does, you know, he did the first trick. And I stood there for the first trick.
Yeah.
And oh, boy, I hesitate to even say this, but... It was a trick. It's one of the tricks that I do. When someone asks me, can you do a card trick? It's one of the like two or three that I know how to do.
What's it like? Even the Beastie Boys is a great, in the book, there's a great time where he basically refers to like playing a song as like, it's a drunk card trick
at
a party. Like basically it's the one you can just pull out and it's okay.
Yeah.
But you don't want to do that for an album.
That's it.
You know what I mean? Kind of thing.
Yes.
And so like that expression that was so beautifully put. But yeah, of course, every party has room for one drunken card trick.
Right.
For sure.
And so he does it. I'm still standing there. I haven't removed myself from the scenario yet. I'm still standing there. I'm like, yeah, this guy, I'm giving this guy the benefit of the doubt. He's doing a card trick. He does it. I laugh, you know, I'm certainly gracious about it. I don't say that I saw every move he did. And, you know, I don't say any of those things. My friend seemed delighted by seeing a card trick. And I just made the comment. I was like, see, this is why it's great to have a party with magicians, because in case we want to have a poker game, you know, there are plenty of people here that have decks of cards. That's always the best thing about having a party. You invite magicians to parties. You got decks of cards in case we all run out of things.
It's already loaded for triumph, but go ahead.
Fine. Okay. I'll just walk away then. Fine. I gave you a fucking out. We were all laughing about it. But okay, you want to do more card tricks? I'm going to leave.
I
made a joke about your cards and like you did a card trick. It was charming. It was done.
It was quick.
Like you did one quick one. And I was like, oh, that's a fine party card trick.
But Paul's right even about the whole, like, what are you going to talk about? Like I remember back in the day when I was a bartender at Tierney's, like what I used to do sometimes, you know, I was single, is that I would get the bar cleared out fast by buying two cases of beer.
Yeah.
Handing a friend my house keys and say, take everyone back to my place.
Right.
And bring this beer, you know?
Yeah.
And then that would get everybody out of the bar to my house. I'd clean up fast, come home to a party.
Yes.
It was great.
Yeah.
Then my buddy Pat, he worked there too.
Mm-hmm.
and the nights where he liked to do the same.
This is before he hosted Wheel of Fortune. Matt used to live with Pat Sajak.
I used to live with Pat Sajak. Yeah. I was trying not to name drop, but it was Pat Sajak.
I mean, it's a show, Matt. Let's do the show.
And he also liked to, he would love to have post parties, right? So sometimes like a contest if you're working the same shift.
Oh, yeah.
So who's going to have the thing? But he had a girlfriend.
Okay.
So whenever he threw parties, he and his girlfriend loved to bust out board games and play board games. And I hated this. So I was like, I don't want to stay up till 5 o'clock in the morning having won and lost Yahtzee.
Right.
Right? Like, I came to have a party to talk to people, joke around, fuck around.
Yeah.
Like, maybe hit it off with somebody.
Sure.
But if not, definitely just fucking laugh my ass off, make jokes, socialize. So, like, big time.
Yeah.
And games are the fucking death of conversation.
Yes.
So it's like, do I love playing games? Sure. Do I love playing games at 3 o'clock in the morning? No.
Right.
No, that's not when I want to bust out my most, acumen and clue.
That's
right.
It.
Like, and so whenever it was like, he'd win the coin toss or whatever, I'd be like, oh shit, now I got to go play fucking games.
Now we're going to play Monopoly.
And that's what Paul's talking about is absolutely right. Like, while this is happening, you're getting to know this person in no way.
No.
And they're getting to know you in no way.
Yeah.
Right.
And you're just trying to gain this really unfair leveraged dynamic.
Yeah.
It's just a bad social protocol.
Yeah.
It's just like, you hit it off with someone or you don't.
Yeah. I wrote down in my ice cream social notes on my phone, just watched a magician try to pick up a young lady by doing a card trick. And so after he finally finished and my friend, I guess, told him something that made him decide that leaving was the appropriate move, leaving this corner of the room, I kind of walked back over to her and just show her my phone, just show her the notes app on my phone. I was like, this is all the topics that I write down to talk about on Ice Cream Social. And you made the list. Yeah.
No, it's like, we've had Gabriella Lester come by here. And I've been around her, and she is very quick to make old jokes at the expense of every dude who talks to her. And it makes me laugh a lot.
Yes.
It's very funny.
I don't know Gabriella that well.
She does not hesitate.
But she's always lovely. I always enjoy seeing her when she comes around. And she's made those jokes to me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know her that well. I know her well enough that she's made those jokes to me. I'm like, oh, that has to, like, that's oh, a, man. Being a young female magician, being in that world all the time.
You have to come in with guns unholstered.
Yes.
You can't wait.
I mean, you have to come in with a fucking flamethrower.
Yeah.
She does.
Must.
And she does.
Good.
And she does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She is one that I'm like, I'm never too worried about old Gabriella over there.
No,
she's
no.
That is a young lady who can handle herself.
100%. Yeah, 100%.
First show.
Where are we at, Jacob? What are we doing?
I'm gonna handle you with a little Jock versus Nerd.
You're gonna see about that.
Shakes fist. Shakes fist at sky.
Or am I?
Fuck yeah.
I'm on the hunt for balls.
No, it's card trick. we got an obelisk Jock versus Nerd.
Okay.
From Hojack.
Okay.
Oh.
Hojack says, I have created a new obelisk with new features based on your feedback.
Okay, great.
Because we gave some feedback to obelisk the other day, so Hojack has come through. There are two additional high-value questions. All questions are now multiple choice. Steals have been renamed to super steals, but you still only get one per person.
Okay.
There is now a regular steal where you don't take the person's money and you don't lose your money for getting a question wrong. You simply take control of the board from the other player and you get one of those per person. So we have a steal and a super steal.
Got it. Okay.
The super steal is the risky one.
Super steal is the risky one, yep. And there is now a 50-50 lifeline that eliminates two wrong choices, and you get one of those per person as well.
Wow.
Oh, fun.
So we've added a super steal and a 50-50. So let's see.
Oh my gosh, look at that giant tower of questions.
So many questions. So we have a double down, we have a steal, we have a super steal, and we have a 50-50. The first question is, it's to me first. $200 question, 90s video games. I can double down. I'm not going to double down. Spoiler. Paul can steal or super steal. Matt can steal or super steal. Or I can just read the question. Does anyone want to do anything?
I'll let it ride.
I will steal. Oh.
Paul's going to steal. Regular steal?
Yeah, regular steal.
All right. GoldenEye 007. Matt, I'm so glad that Paul stole this.
I had a feeling Paul was going to be all over this.
Yeah. GoldenEye 007 was first released on which console? Sega Saturn,
C.
PlayStation, Nintendo 60. Well, let me read the question. We're doing a show, Paul. Nintendo 64 or Atari Jaguar?
C, Nintendo 64. Final answer.
Nintendo 64 is correct.
Woohoo.
I think I might have gotten that one. Oh, no, I thought.
No, I would have gotten it wrong.
I definitely thought it was PlayStation.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, okay. All right, Paul, U.S. presidents, $600 question. U.S. Oh, wait. We're already to 600? How did we skip 400? Did we skip one?
I don't know.
Says we skipped one. Hojack, I think we might have skipped a question somehow. I'm not sure how.
We'll There's a glitch.
Yeah, there might be a glitch in the matrix here.
There might be a glitch. Because Paul definitely just got 200, and it looks like it just skipped 400.
Okay.
Anyway, $600 question. Paul, would you like to double down on U.S. presidents?
No way.
Matt, you want to steal?
Yeah, I'll steal.
All right, Matt is stealing. Which U.S. president was the last to own slaves? Ulysses S. Grant, John Adams, Rutherford B. Hayes, Donald Trump.
Well,
I was going to say, is Trump on there?
Now we have to define owning slaves.
Exactly. Yeah.
Where there's no sexual servitude.
Does
over
he
there
have?
The,
does he have shares in Amazon? Because technically.
There was that big thing about a bunch of the Mar-a-Lago employees,
people
coming over from different countries and basically working for no wages. Not basically. I don't know why I said basically. The allegation was
working for no wages. I guess the ironic answer would be Grant, since he was the general during the Civil War to free the slaves.
Right.
But that doesn't necessarily mean he wouldn't have owned them.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if Grant did or not.
I'm going to go with Grant.
Okay. It is. It's Grant.
All right.
Well done. I might have been tempted to go John Adams, but you weren't.
Not me.
You were just correct. All right. We are to the $800 question. It looks like we've gone from the $600 question to the $800 question successfully.
Very good.
Matt, what's that smell? Would you like to double down on what's that smell?
I'm not going to double down on what's that smell.
Paul, you want to steal it?
No, I'd have to super steal. I'm not doing that.
Okay. Well, I'm just asking. I'm just running the game, Paul.
Let him just facilitate the game.
Jesus. Paul just keeps yelling at me about the game. What's that smell, Matt? Gas companies add this chemical to natural gas to give it a distinctive rotten egg smell.
Oh, shit.
Let's see. A, Merkinsense. B, Mercaptan. C, mercury. D, mustard gas. And I'll just remind you that there is a 50-50 lifeline that will eliminate two wrong answers.
Oh.
It'd be hilarious if it just eliminated two random answers when one of them could be the correct answer.
That's funny.
That wouldn't do you much good. It'll just eliminate
That's
two
really
answers
funny.
Possibly wrong. What do
Is
you think,
me?
Matt? Yeah, it's you.
Oh, I have to guess?
Yes.
B.
Mercaptan is correct.
All right.
Did you know that, or was that just
pure guess?
No,
it's just pure guess. I mean, process of elimination. The other one sounded like something you wouldn't.
Well, you didn't think mustard gas.
Merkinsense, that's like some pussy wig incense, right?
Yeah. Let's see. Score check. Matt has 1,400. Paul has 200. I have zero. It's Matt's turn. And the question is Monty Python. Matt, would you like to double down?
This feels like a trap. I feel like I'm more arrogant in my Monty Python knowledge than I actually have, where I feel like you actually have good Monty Python knowledge.
Okay.
So if I don't double down, it's stealable, correct?
It is.
All right. I'm not going to double down.
I'm gonna steal.
Yeah. Are you going to double?
I'll super steal. Yeah. What is the name of the morbidly obese character in The Meaning of Life? A, Mr. Calcutta. B, Mr. Canape. C, Mr. Creosote. And D, Mr. Carcinogen. That is definitely D, Mr. Carcinogen. He's a carcinogen. He causes cancer if you inhale him. No, it is C, Mr. Creosote, is the correct answer there.
Give me a bucket.
Would you like a wafer thin mint? It's only wafer thin.
Piss off, a fool.
It is Mr. Creosote.
Originally did not like that sketch, and then Cleese figured out that the fun was being the waiter of that sketch.
Yes.
And then once he realized the fun was in the other character, it made it to the
That's a great
shoot
sketch.
Pile.
That is a really good sketch. So I just stole all of Matt's points and got 1,000 points of my own.
Oh, wow. That's significant.
Yeah, that was a $1,000 question. So I got Matt's
points.
I got Matt's 1,400, and I got the 1,000. That's the super steal. Yeah.
Whoa, shit.
Yep. So we have Masters of the Universe for $1,200. I can double down.
Or
Paul can still super steal. Oh, shit.
Are you going to double down to protect your points?
I'm trying to think if I know anything at all about Masters of the Universe. That's it. I'm like, I'm going through the names I can list of Masters of the Universe characters.
You know he's going to hit me with a deep cut.
He-Man. Prince Adam, they're the same person.
Same guy.
Castle Grayskull, Skeletor.
You're doing
the
good.
Sorceress.
Yeah.
Battle Cat.
Yep.
Fisto.
Sure.
All right.
And that's about the end of it.
Okay.
You're doing pretty good.
So I'm going to double down.
He just doesn't want to get it stolen.
Well, I'm going to lose the points either way. I might as well take a stab at it.
Right.
Which He-Man episode was named after and based on an episode of Star Trek? A, The Remedy. B, Attack from Below. That's a weird name. C, The Arena. And D, The Energy Beast.
Attack from Below is the name of the book the guy who got stung by the scorpion is writing.
Ah! The Energy Beast is what we called the guy who was doing card tricks at the party.
Yeah, he's fucking the guy from What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah, Colin.
Oh,
Colin.
Yeah. Yeah, the energy vampire.
Colin Thompson, you energy vampire. Fucking guy.
I have just remembered that I have a 50-50. So I could use my 50-50 here. Eliminate two of the wrong answers.
50-50.
Oh, so that got rid of the remedy and attack from below.
All right. Goodbye,
so I have
Scorpion.
C, the arena, and D, the energy beast. Man, those both sound like names of Masters of Universe episodes.
Yeah.
Star Trek episodes, too.
Yeah, right? So this was... Oh, so it was named after... So it was just named after a Star Trek episode. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at this like something's going to occur to me. Like some piece of logic
just
is going to
just
pop into my head.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
And I don't know why. I'm just going to guess C or D. I'll go D. I'll go the Energy Beast.
Okay.
Just because that's a more fun name. Paul, do you have an opinion on that? I'm going Energy Beast.
Yeah, you're wrong.
I am wrong. It's the arena.
But yeah. So here's a fun fact. Also, the Mike Young Productions 2000X Masters of the Universe cartoon utilize the Next Generation font in their title sequences at the beginning of the shows.
Oh, there you go. Well, Paul, you have a question. You're a $1,400 question for you,
what's
Paul.
What's the score right now, Jacob?
I still have 1,200. I guess I kept some points.
Okay.
I lost a lot of points, but I kept some points. Paul has 200 and you have zero.
Okay.
And the category
all
is...
your points on your double.
I down. Thought I did too.
All right.
I thought I was going to lose all of them. Paul, your question is about Penn and Teller. Would you like to double down?
No.
Matt,
yes,
would you like to super steal? Penn and Teller, Matt Donnelly. Which of the following shows did Penn and Teller win an Emmy for? By the way, I just burned my double down and my 50-50 just to get a question wrong. Just want to point that out.
That's pretty rough.
That my gamesmanship just got hurt there pretty severely.
Got it.
Which of the following shows did Penn and Teller win an Emmy for? Penn and Teller Go Public, The Unpleasant World of Penn and Teller, Penn and Teller's Don't Try This at Home, Penn and Teller's Home Invasion.
Okay. Go ahead and 50-50 it for me,
Jacob. Let's 50-50 that one for Matt. That got rid of Don't Try This at Home and Home Invasion. So it's Penn and Teller Go Public or The Unpleasant World of Penn and Teller.
I'm going to go with Go Public, Jacob.
Penn and Teller Go Public is correct.
Hey. All right.
Well done. And so that got Matt 1,400 points, and it got him Paul's 200 points. So Matt is now in the lead with 1,600 points, and he has control of the board. Casino odds.
Okay.
$1,600 question, casino odds. Matt, would you like to double down?
I still have a double down?
You have a double down.
Oh, gosh.
You have a double down, and that's it. Mm-hmm. I have a steal, and that's it. Paul still has a super steal and a 50-50. It's down here in the bottom left. Oh, and a double down, yes. Yeah, Paul has everything except his regular steal.
Oh, man, Paul's really going to be able
Paul's loaded for
make
bear.
A mess here.
At the end of the game, Paul's loaded for bear.
Maybe.
I'm not going to use my double down on casino odds. It seems too obvious.
Okay. I'm not going to steal. Paul, you want a super steal?
I don't.
All right. What is the house advantage on a single zero roulette wheel? 1-4, 2-7, 5-3, 10-3.
What the hell? This is confusing to me.
So what is the house advantage on a single zero roulette wheel? So that so that implies the idea is that you're not betting on the zero.
Yeah.
So you don't have 50-50 odds. There's however many numbers there
are,
plus the zero if you're betting on red, black, and then, yeah. It goes through.
I'm
saying all of this like I definitely know the answer, and I definitely don't know the answer.
Say them again, and let me see if I can make sense of it.
1-4.
Okay.
2-7, 5-3, or 10-3.
I'm going to go 5-3.
Okay. 2-7.
Oh.
B, 2-7.
2-7.
Yeah, 2-7.
Oh, now I get it. Okay.
So Matt missed that question, so he didn't lose any points, but he lost control.
Oh.
So that comes to me. It's a $2,500 question. It's dog breeds. I don't have the option to double down, but Paul can super steal. Paul, would you like to super steal dog breeds?
No. Not
okay, let's see the question.
Dog breed questions.
Doberman pincers were bred to protect someone in which profession? Tax collector, executioner, landlord, dentist.
Interesting.
I'll be a dentist. good dog. Let's see. I'm leaning away from executioner and dentist.
Okay.
Dentist. Because dentist is probably the right answer.
But you hear executioner, don't you just picture a dog next to an executioner now? It feels like it fits that picture so easily.
Oh. See, I'm picturing like other guards and things. I'm picturing an executioner being a job that doesn't require an extra set of security.
Right.
Because there's already security around that person.
Yeah. Okay.
Dentist.
Doesn't
seem to need that much security.
It seems like in Vegas we'd at least have like a vintage dentist who like, I have a traditional Doberman pincher here.
Right, exactly.
Oh, it's like, good. This is a bespoke dentistry place.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Also, dentist was, it was like the guy who would
surgeon.
Do the shave and the haircut, and he would also do your dentistry and everything as well. Yeah.
So executioner.
So I'm leaning towards tax collector or landlord.
All right. That seems like two people you would breed a dog to protect because humans don't want to protect those people.
Yeah. I'm going to go landlord because Doberman sounds pretty close to doorman.
I like that. I would think more like Doberman
Pinkerton.
Good
answer.
Fuck tax collector.
Tax collector.
My logic was sound right up until the end. Paul, Australian rules football. Would you like to double down on Australian rules football?
Hell no.
Well, I'm not going to steal it, so here's the question. Which music act performed for the pre-match entertainment of the 2023 AFL Grand Final between Collingwood and Brisbane? Midnight Oil, AC/DC, NXS, or Kiss?
Paul, you have a 50-50 left, right?
You do.
I do.
I'm just sad I didn't see this AFL game.
I know.
I'm just sad. I would have seen them.
I have to guess. Yeah, I'll go ahead and use my 50-50, please.
Okay. That got rid of AC/DC and NXS. Now it's either Midnight Oil or Kiss, and I'm a little less excited about seeing this performance now.
Oh, man. If I can
just
see
a little.
Midnight Oil live, you ever see that lead singer live? He's a fucking lunatic.
Oh, yeah. What's his name?
The bald guy with the hat.
That's it. That's his legal name.
They performed to the back of a moving truck. The time has come. A fact's a fact.
What do you think, Paul? Midnight Oil or Kiss?
They are incredibly political. Midnight Oil.
Okay.
How do we sleep when I'm
so I wonder if they're going to be performing. Like, I mean, is their football?
I mean, Kiss
as politically...
Kiss is pretty political too. I mean, you hear sure. You're Paul Stanley all the time. I've got this recording right here of Paul Stanley talking about women's rights. Here, I'll play it for you right now.
What I don't like about IVF is that essentially those embryos are babies. Yeah.
Yep.
They're like children, but they're frozen. I heard some of y'all like adoption. Yeah. Let's look into the children that are already born. Woo!
You see, Paul? So Kiss is pretty political,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, you're right. You're
That's
right.
Very political.
You're right. He's got topical. His opinions. He's got his opinions. Shit.
Oh, I just bought a Kiss album the other week.
Yeah.
It is a board recording.
Yeah.
And so it's from a live concert, just straight off the sound console. And boy, does it sound like a straight off the soundboard board recording. It is definitely not sweetened in studio. It's definitely just pure,
right,
like,
yeah,
I was made for loving you, baby.
Yeah,
you were
it's like
made
a step
up.
It's a half step above a bootleg recording.
By the way, the new opening arguments did a great breakdown of the frozen embryo.
There's
case.
A new opening arguments.
Yes,
is Andrew not on it anymore?
Correct.
There we go.
And
that took him a while to get around to that.
We're blazing past that.
Yep.
And
I just wasn't aware of that. That's just news to me. That's
right.
All.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so I believe it took a long time for a court case to get settled. And
I see.
The settling of that court case is there's a new opening arguments. Thomas is there. There's a new lawyer co-host.
Interesting.
They
God, can
broke
you imagine
down...
the headache of having to rejigger a podcast that's all about law?
That has a it has a real topic.
Yeah,
that can't cover its own topic.
Right. Oh, that's right. I guess they wouldn't be able to cover
I mean?
Their own
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, this is like
yeah.
But anyhow, that case was not a. Normally, those cases are engineered.
Yeah.
By political causes.
Yes.
For the cases to go down, this was a weird handling of the laws. I think it was in Alabama, right? The weird laws yeah. of Alabama.
I think so. The Alabama Supreme Court, I think.
So what happened is that someone dropped
yep.
embryos.
Yep.
Someone dropped embryos, and they were suing them to...
You mean physically, like they were just carrying them and dropped
yes.
them?
Correct.
Yep.
Like a worker just dropped them. Huh. And so it was a regular law firm just handling a case trying to be like, hey, these people spent a shitload of money on IVF.
Right.
And you dropped their things. And it was weird Alabama laws that created this fucking weird... domino effect that ended up making this ruling by this judge to
group
because in Alabama there's a weird law on the books. Please listen to the podcast. They do a much better job than me.
No,
and
you're doing great.
Look, it's a baseball game.
What's this?
Alabama
essentially, what Matt's trying to say is that these judges are more religiously motivated than you would imagine. They're really trying to impose the Seven Mountains mandate more so than the U.S. Constitution.
100%. Yeah! The judge's decision.
Thank you, Paul Stanley.
Did make 46 references to Bible, biblical, or ministers.
No, it's absolutely quotes. Just the Seven Mountains mandate shit. It's really disgusting.
And,
right.
In Alabama, they made it so you can't sue for punitive damages on accidental deaths because they said you couldn't put value on a human life.
Okay.
So that created created a weird wrinkle in how to pursue the case.
Huh.
So basically it was in the defense's advantage to categorize embryos as human life, so therefore they couldn't be sued for punitive
right.
damages.
Wow.
Boy, this thing needs to be challenged yesterday.
I mean, I think Paul Stanley's already on it. Actually, I have a recording of him. He's actually an activist on the other side of this as well.
What we've discovered is that not only were these little embryos made for loving you, but I was made for loving me.
There you go. There you go. So, now that we've stalled enough for Paul to really think about this... which music act performed for the pre-match entertainment of the 2023 AFL Grand Final between Collingwood and Brisbane, Paul? Midnight Oil or Kiss?
I'll try Midnight Oil.
Let's see Midnight Oil. I'm sorry, it's Kiss.
Oh, after all of that.
Yeah. I mean, I knew. Well.
You didn't know.
Yep. I didn't have any points to lose anyway, so there it is.
That's true. Matt, you have a $4,000 question here. The category is the War of 1812.
Oh, good.
When was it fought?
Would you like to double down?
I only have one left, right?
You have a double down left, yes.
So the only way to use it is either I have to get this right and hope the next category is easier and I want to double down on that.
Right.
Or you guys have any steals left?
I have a steal and Paul has a super steal.
Okay. I guess I'll double down on this question.
Okay. Doubling down on War of 1812.
Do it. Gamesmanship.
What year did the War of 1812 officially end?
Oh.
1814, 1812, 1815, or 1813?
Okay. I'll use my 50-50.
Nope. Oh, you've already used it.
That's fair. Travis. Just told me to go fuck myself.
Travis, not a history major.
I'll go 1815.
1815, that's C, and that's correct.
Oh, yeah! I know big things. Winner, I'm celebrating so big.
Jumped Matt to 9,600 points.
Boom! I love this new obelisk game.
I have 1,200. Paul has zero. And Matt, the final question is, it's for $5,000, quantum physics.
I'll double down again, Jacob.
You can't do that.
Okay.
I have a steal, and Paul has a super steal. Wait, if I steal, can Paul then super steal from me? I don't know.
Think so?
I don't know.
Oh, no, you're right. I think you can only go.
I might as well steal it.
Yeah,
I'll steal quantum physics. Yeah. The Dirac equation shows that every particle has what? A duality, a matrix, a wave function, an antiparticle.
Oh, interesting.
Oh.
Two of those kind of feel like the same thing.
Are you talking about the duality in an antiparticle?
Yes.
Yep. But an antiparticle, man, antiparticle tickles something in my brain.
No, I think duality and wave function.
Antiparticles can do that.
Yeah.
I think it's a wave function.
A wave function? You're going wave function, huh?
Yeah, because every particle behaves as a wave.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong about that. I don't know if it's every particle.
Light particles.
Travis knows this. He's just holding back.
Yeah. Yeah. Travis was just talking about this before we started recording.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big quantum physics guy.
He's like, you guys want to talk particles? But like,
we got to record.
Yeah, we got to record.
Particle man.
I'm going with my gut. I'm going antiparticle. It's an antiparticle.
Antiparticle is correct.
It's an antiparticle. Who could ask for more?
Everybody's come and leave your particle at the door. Leave your antiparticle at the door.
Woohoo!
And that's the game. And Matt wins with 9,600 points. Got the double down on the $4,000 question at just the right time.
All right.
I'm in second with 6,200. Paul's in third with zero. And that was an obelisk game from Hojack. Thank you, Hojack.
Thanks, Hojack.
And I thank you for the changes there. Good. I think there is a little glitch there at the very beginning of the game, but it didn't affect the rest of the game, so that's good.
Good adjustments by Hojack. I like it.
Do we have any other game notes for Hojack?
That one felt good to me, but I won, so maybe that's a little bias there.
Paul, you were in third place on that one. Do you have any game notes for Hojack?
No.
Okay. All right. I think that's great. I think we go with that for a little while.
Nice piece of ingenuity there, Hojack.
I think the super steal is a good idea. Yeah. If you want to send us an obelisk game, head over to heyscoops.com right there on the homepage. You can click the button, send us an obelisk game, send us a scooperty, send us a Price is Scrite, Jock versus Nerd, send us some scoop mail, do all the things over there at heyscoops.com. I'll tell you what else you can do over there.
Let's do it.
You can buy your ticket to Scoop Fest,
get
motherfucker.
It. Let's do it. Come see us
here. Robe time Scoop Fest, baby. It's going to be great here in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada. May
9th,
10th, and 11th.
That's right. Unofficially, we start May 8th on the Wednesday with Bucket Show.
Yeah, we'll have a Bucket Show the night of May 8th, and then Scoop Fest kicks off on May 9th, 10th, and 11th. I'm getting hives just thinking about it.
We got all kinds of people coming to the talent show now, the showcase.
I went and saw a late night show last night. that featured one of the people who is signed on to do our variety show. I'm not going to say who it is yet. It's one of our surprises. It's going to be great. But I tell you what, watching this person perform, it occurred to me that we might need more sound equipment.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, oh, do we have to? We might have to buy speakers. We might have to buy more speakers. I don't know. I'm sitting there thinking about it last night. And my friend that I was there with, actually, it's the same friend that got shown the card trick.
So we
were sitting there together, and I leaned over to her and I was like, this person is performing at Scoop Fest, and I'm not sure if we have the correct sound reinforcement for this person's performance right now. And that's just one more thing for me to worry about with Scoop Fest.
Yeah. But yeah, get out to Scoop Fest. It's 3 nights, 2 days. Fantastic events. Live.
Flip it. Three days, two nights.
No. It's 3 nights, 2 days.
What?
Thursday night.
Thursday.
Oh, Friday, I see what you mean now. I see what you mean. Okay.
Yeah.
You don't mean 3 nights of sleeping. I misunderstood.
3 nights of activities, 2 days of activities.
I'll be over here teaching your kids about baseball.
For those of you who are lucky enough to go to the barbecue, it's 3 days, 3 nights.
That's right.
Boy, do we have a lot of fun surprises for you guys as well. But we were going to do a live round of mouth, finger, butthole tournaments, by the way. Mm-hmm. I was at a friend's memorial, but they did a giant rock, paper, scissor Rochambeau contest. And I was like, amateurs.
Yeah.
Amateurs.
And you just start booing.
And my wife said, maybe we should do this at our Easter party. We always have a big Easter party. Mm. And I said, or you can do the Scoop version. And she said, go fuck yourself. So,
what's more Easter than mouth, finger, butthole?
I agree.
Yep.
Those are the places where Jesus got stabbed.
Our friends from Great Night will be coming out as well. Yep. Our movies with Mike will be hosting trivia battles that we'll be hosting, I think, throughout the event.
Sure.
Instead of in one hunk, we're going to send them out. We're going to send different podcasts up against each other.
That's right.
Like last time.
The crew from Pod Therapy will be there.
That's right.
I'm sure our friends from Morning Murders will make an appearance.
Yeah.
Along with a myriad of others.
Yeah, it's going to be such a fun event.
It's going to be a hell of a thing.
If you can come, you're going to want to be there.
Yeah.
We tend to do, someone wrote us about this, so we tend to do, because we haven't done the full schedule yet, but we tend to schedule it the same way. We went, 1 to 5 and then 7 to 11 every night? Is that what we did?
Somewhere in there, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's what we're going to plan for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll start the day early afternoon.
Yeah.
And then we'll take a break in there for everybody to disperse, go have dinner and everything on your own, and then you'll come back in the evening for the evening's activities.
Yes. And so, and I think that's how we did it last time.
Yeah.
So some people were asking us about writing or trying to make plans.
Like the Thursday night, we'll probably start registration around like 6:30 or 7.
Yeah.
And then the whole event will kick off around 8 o'clock on Thursday night.
Yeah.
We'll go late that night. Not crazy late, but, you know, midnight-ish.
Yeah.
They kick us out at some point because we're in the Orleans Hotel and Casino, so their workers have to kick us out, so we're on their schedule a little bit.
Yeah.
But I bet we'll end up over at McMullen's or something like that on that Thursday night
as
well. And then we're off to the races. Then we're just doing our thing. There are going to be a couple of more tickets released for the Whiskey Barbecue.
Okay.
We have a couple of slots that are available for that. If you are interested in that, jacob@hayscoops.com. I feel like that's the most fair way to do it at this point.
Yeah.
Just email me if you're interested in attending the Whiskey Barbecue, jacob@hayscoops.com, and it'll just be first come, first serve. There are already a couple of people that have reached out to me over the last couple of months. You guys have your spots. Don't worry about that. Don't reach out to me again, and I'll reach out to you just to confirm that and to set that up.
All right. So that's all the news we have here. And of course, we're here doing this podcast twice a week. Thanks for spending time with us.
We sure are.
Making time for us to be in your ears. We appreciate it so much. Stay safe out there. We love you. And we'll see you soon.
We'll see you soon.
We don't have our thank you lists for the month yet. Like I said in the pre-show, our thank yous are going to be all over the place this month. But we're going to get to all of them. Preachingfun.com if you want to support the show. Show us that you think the show's worth more than $0. Preachingfun.com. We got a gold billed loon. Shut the show down. We got to go. We're Preaching Fun.